Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Yes, I'm Still Sober with John Rabin, the Thanksgiving special. That's right. We've got a lot of good things lined up for you today. That's not true, actually. I don't have anything lined up for you out of the ordinary. No bonuses. I've tricked you into downloading this and starting to listen. You can go now. No, you don't have to. I just called it the Thanksgiving special because it's Thanksgiving this week. I don't know, maybe I'll... If you like, I can discuss Thanksgiving. I could probably do that, I guess. That would, you know, I don't know. I just had a feeling people would be traveling, and if they already are listening to me, this would be a nice distraction while you're on the road in traffic going to see quote-unquote loved ones, a.k.a. family. Yeah, Thanksgiving. I'm breaking my tradition. I normally go to my dad's and his wife, Cindy, my stepmom, I guess. But I love going over there. But this time I'm going with my mom over with her brothers and sisters to eat with my grandmother, because my grandmother is very old, and I haven't seen her in a bit, so it'd be nice to go there. So it's gonna be good. It's food that's not gonna be prepared in a microwave, which I'm excited about. I would say this about Thanksgiving: just lay low, man. As somebody who has gotten into it with certain people, actually the same person, repeatedly during holidays, it's not worth it, I think, because you never get to, you don't get a satisfaction, even if you can outwit them, even if you're like smarter than them and you win every argument, it's fleeting and you forget, and eventually they leave your family one way or another, this particular one because of a family separation, so I don't have to see that person again, and man, I'm broken up inside. I'm going to keep that vague. Just enjoy a break from routine and the free food, free-ish food. You probably, if your family's organized, you probably have a food assignment that you have to bring. We used to, I like this gathering because it's not any of the kids, except for me. But besides me, it's just my mom and her brother and her sisters and grandmother. So it's like, it's not none of the my cousins, because my cousins all have kids now. And like the last gathering I went to, there's just a shit ton of them. I don't know the cousins' kids' names. I know the cousins' names, but I'm not going second cousin. It's fine. But got really, you know, with all the cousins and everything, I mean, which none of them are going to be there, but whenever we would have a gathering with all the cousins there, so like everybody got a food assignment, and for, I would say, probably right after I got divorced, so from like 2003 on, I got really easy assignments. Like people would have different dishes, you know, you're going to bring casserole. I'm going to work on the stuffing. I'm going to do John, Dr. Pepper. Like every year. And like as people got older, like cousins, once they graduated high school, like I'm one of the oldest cousins. So like little cousins would you know, they wouldn't have to bring anything. And then they started bringing stuff. And then slowly, I got older and everybody else got bigger responsibilities. So people way younger than me started making dishes. I always got assigned Dr. Pepper. Like, it never... I was never trusted with anything greater than pick this up at the store on your way here. And then, after I went to rehab and got out, I didn't even get that as an assignment. It was more of a like, well, we hope to see you, and then no assignment. It was a nice kind of way of going, how about you work on yourself and I'll buy a 3 liter of Dr. Pepper? Like, it just, it's, I'm not complaining. It's just weird how that goes. And also, like, when I would go to a family gathering, there was a lot of questions about how, you know, how my career was going, not comedy, but like day job stuff. And, you know, how, like, just, you know, how's are you dating somebody? How's that going? Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, seeing if I had thought about my future, you know, and different things. And then right after the rehab stuff, it was kind of like, you know, it was never, you know, I used to kind of, there was this little level of judgment of, you're doing this instead of work, you know, trying to climb the corporate ladder. But as soon as I got out of rehab, and then after I did rehab the second time with the jail and everything, and I got so completely sober, it was very much one of those things. It was like, so how are things going, John? Oh yeah, I got a new gig dishwashing. And it's like, oh, look at you, you've got a job. Look who's not incarcerated anymore. Like, it was, the bar got set really low for me, and that's, man, that is a load off my mind. It is no pressure. I like having no pressure from the fam. But yeah, so you yourself, if you're going to visit family, man, just lay low and let people watch football. There used to be a thing where one of the older members of the family usually was the one who was like, no, we're not going to turn the game on. We don't see each other but like a couple times a year, we're going to visit. And you know what? Theoretically, I see what you're doing. But here's the deal. If you don't have the Cowboys playing, I don't have anything to talk to my uncle about. And it's not going to be pretty. Because I am not a member of the NRA. And I am not a member of the Republican Party. And I don't hunt. And I don't have a truck. So there is nothing. And I'm not a fan of Larry the Cable Guy. So there's a lot of things that we're not going to connect on, but if you turn on the fucking game, Uncle Richie and I have a lot to talk about. That's all I'm saying. It's you know, we can enjoy each other's company by staring at the game. And that's a bonding thing that you got to let people who don't need to be talking together about, you know, I don't want to go, hey, Uncle Richie, would you like to discuss whether God exists? Let's not do that. Let's keep the Cowboys game on. That seems way healthier. Also, if you are planning, this all depends on your motivation during the holidays. If you just want to have an easy go of things, good for you. But, I mean, if you're wanting to harass your family members, then by all means, I'm not going to stop you. But try not bringing up Native Americans and what we did to them. Like, can you do that the whole holiday? You act like nobody has the internet and has read something. Like, it's since the internet has come about, as I sigh heavily, people have access to a lot of alternative information. So you informing somebody of something that you've read one time used to mean a lot more when you actually had to go read it and had to actually find it or stumble upon it in the real world. It means nothing when you learn a thing from your phone while you're going about fucking off during your life. So just shut up about it and just let this be tradition. It doesn't, you know, you're not, your family's not going to turn the tide and fix all the wrongs in the world. It's just a tradition. You're just eating. And you're just getting together. It's tradition to watch the Cowboys lose or win. Actually, they're going to win this. I think they're going to win on Thursday. But it's not about, like, my tradition for years was while you're traveling to get to your destination where you're going to eat Thanksgiving, we listen to Alice's Restaurant, which is 19 minutes long. It's about 19 minutes long. And then Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And obviously, we stopped listening to Paul Harvey. I haven't listened to Paul Harvey since 2008 because he's dead. But before then, every year on Thanksgiving, I listen to Paul Harvey and I listen to Alice's Restaurant. But it's just tradition. It doesn't mean I'm a fan of Arlo Guthrie. I am not. I own zero of his albums. So you just grin and bear it. Just enjoy yourself. Just make it tolerable. Duck and cover. All right? If you're a fan of socialism, duck and fucking cover. It's just Thanksgiving. Eat your free food and watch your football. There. That's my message to the kids. Eat your free food and watch the goddamn game. That's what you need to do. So, I think one other thing I wanted to talk about, and then I'll let you enjoy your day. I did a storytelling show last week, and I told this story. And if you've seen me do stand-up years and years ago, I used to tell this as a bit. Well, half of it, because the other half hadn't happened yet. But this is sort of an extended part of it. This is what I talked about at the storytelling show. Because the show is called Laugh the Shame Away, and it was about supposed to take personal shame, make it funny. And the thing about me is that I don't have a whole lot of shame. I just don't. I don't carry that around with me. And I pretty much lost any possibility of it when I started drinking. Also, the liquid courage thing. It just, I don't know. It was a different mindset. The only shame that I had before then is more like guilt, I guess. It'd be more guilt than shame, I think. I used to always hate the idea that, because I didn't, you know, I wasn't the most popular kid, but I wasn't an outcast. I was, you know, I was funny and nice and cool to everybody. So everybody liked me. So I didn't get picked on hardly at all, but I watched a lot of it. And like most people, you just kind of stayed out of the crosshairs and, you know, let it happen. And I don't know, you start thinking about it as you get older, about letting bullies get away with bullshit because they appear stronger than you, or they were literally physically stronger than you. But once I started drinking, that changed because the fear went away. But the anger about it stayed with me. So I decided at some point, I think I was in my 20s, and I just decided at some point that I was not going to let bullies, because people try to avoid confrontation all the time. So there's a lot of shit happens in public where people just let assholes get away with stuff because they don't want to get involved. They want to avoid a confrontation. And I decided that I'm not going to do that. That I thought that I would not let bullies or assholes get away with the bullshit behavior to the point that even if I went too far and was perceived as a villain by some people, that was still better than nobody doing anything. And that, you know, at least there would be a change. And so I would do that a lot. I still do that, by the way, even though I'm sober. I just don't, I don't like letting people get away with shit. I just don't, it's not always a good thing. It's why if you've ever seen me deal with hecklers, it's about a 50-50 if it goes well. About half the time I handle hecklers at the right level and it's funny and we move on and things are fine, the show is fine. The other half of the times, I do not handle it well. I'm actually rather angry and I go overboard. Borderlining abusive. Like I really turn, I can turn an audience against me. They're like, hey man, leave them alone. Like I can really, but seriously, fuck them. That's the thing is that I'm like, you know what? If I go too far, maybe they won't do it next time. They get really hurt and they're like, dude, it's terrible. I'm never going to go to another comedy show again. Good. Stay the fuck out. That's, it's not necessarily the best choice, but I'm especially more irritated now since I've been doing it so long. It's like, motherfucker, it's 2018. How do you know not to talk? They can kick you out of a movie theater now for looking at your phone. You're going to fucking talk back to me during a show? Just infuriates me. But not just that, just in public, just dealing with people. I've always been, which you'd think that I would have gotten my ass kicked more. But apparently, when I would get into it with people, especially like at bars and there's always some drunk asshole, I always had big friends. Usually the punk rocker, like mountain looking motherfucker standing behind me. So I always had backup. Not so much anymore. You quit drinking, you don't have bar friends that'll kick somebody's ass for you. So it's just you. So I'm lucky I haven't gotten into anything. But at least I'm not fucked up so that I actually have some sense and I can kind of walk the fine line. Somebody's unstable. I don't push them that far over the edge. I'm like, they might have a knife. You know, I know how to kind of walk that line. But okay, so with that in mind, in 2007, I think it was late 2007, maybe early 2008. It was right before I started doing heroin, but my girlfriend and I were messing around with pills and drinking a lot. So one night, we stayed up all night drinking margaritas and taking Ritalin. You know, as you do. It's a good pairing. Because Ritalin is Ritalin, it became the next day. We were still up talking and doing whatever. And we're like, fuck, we're out of cigarettes. Let's go get cigarettes. Also, we're obviously not going to work today. So let's also call in to work while we go get cigarettes. So we walked down to the convenience store from my apartment. It's a couple blocks. Bought cigarettes, called our bosses, respective bosses, you know, and I think I told my boss that my alternator was broken. I didn't know what an alternator did, really, at the time. I just knew that sounded like a thing that keeps it from starting. So, yeah, so I'm going to take care of that today. I don't know if I'll be in. Probably not. Done. My girlfriend's calling, and while she's talking a little louder because I'm guessing tequila and Ritalin. we're walking by this bench where there is a homeless junkie asleep. And he sits up and he yells at her to shut the fuck up, because apparently her voice woke him up. And I told him to mind his own business, go back to sleep. And he said, and I quote, "Shut the fuck up, you little bitch. Hey, give me a cigarette." In that order, which is a tough sell. Hang on a second. Let me, I gotta fix something here. All right, we're back. Yeah. You should probably lead with asking for something before the insulting. So I said no. And I think I yelled something at him, and he yelled back, and we're kind of walking away from each other. And I couldn't let it go, probably because of the tequila and Ritalin. And I said, "Hey, before I leave, did you want that cigarette?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, you should probably get a fucking job. That way you can buy some." Because, you know, I guess I felt like being a cliche. And he gets upset, obviously, and he starts coming at me, and he's yelling at me, and he's walking kind of fast, and he's yelling at me. And he gets about 5 feet away from me as he's coming up to me. And probably because of the Ritalin and the tequila, I hear Tyler Durden from Fight Club in my ear go, "How do you know anything about yourself if you've never been in a fight?" And I went, "Yeah, you're right, Brad Pitt. How do you know?" And he got a couple feet from me, and I decided to hit him in the face. And I learned something about myself. I hit like a little girl. Like, you know how in dreams, when you try to punch something and you just kind of go, eh, and you can't hit? That's exactly how I hit this guy. And just to clarify, when I said homeless junkie, not like a regular homeless person, and it's just not, you know, he was my age, by the way. I wanted to clarify that I did not get into a fight with a hobo. I did not punch a hobo, which is a euphemism for trying to masturbate with whiskey dick. But you can use that. I've been punching the hobo. But no, it was not an old man with a beard who put down his knapsack and went, "Come and see the fisticuffs, youngin." Like, it was, this was a guy, he's my age, and, you know, he's fine. Anyway, I didn't hurt him. I got him mad, obviously. So I had a cigarette in my mouth, and so he comes at me, and I dropped the cigarette out of my mouth, and I grabbed him, and he grabbed me, and he grabbed me around the waist, and I grabbed him in a headlock, and we're wrestling and fighting terribly. And I slam him on the street, boom, down on the ground, and he's still got me, and I've got him down. And I hit him, you know, right on the street. And this was at 41st and Guadalupe at 9 in the morning on a Tuesday. So people are going to fucking work, and they're driving by. It's a busy street. People are just, kick his ass, sea bass. Like, people are fucking going by. And we're wrestling down, and I'm like, "Are you going to calm down?" And he goes, "You started it." I'm like, "No, you started it when you started talking shit to my girl." Because suddenly I'm a fucking 150 pounds of thunder. You know, tough guy. I don't know why. So we're just kind of, we're both, you know, not letting go and not giving any. We're rolling around on the street. And while we're doing this, my girlfriend goes and picks up the cigarette that fell out of my mouth. And she walks up to him all, like, tentatively, like you're approaching a deer. And just said, "Hey, do you want this cigarette?" And he stopped. And he looked at her and took the cigarette, put it in his mouth, let go of me, and went back to the bench and laid down. And I just kind of went, "What the fuck?" She's like, "We should go." And I'm like, "Yeah, all right. Let's go." So we walked, and that was that. That was the weirdest, only time I've ever gotten into a fight at 9 in the morning. Cut to 6 years later, All right. 6 years later. Now, since then, I was a heroin addict, went to rehab in San Antonio. Then I lived in San Antonio for 2 years. Quit doing heroin, but started drinking again because there's nothing to do in San Antonio but drink and look at tourist stuff. But if you live there, you drink. That's all you do. So, and also as an alcoholic. So that's what I did. Got arrested, went back to Austin, locked up for 6 months, went to rehab again. Now I'm out and I'm working again and I'm dishwashing and I'm living in a sober house. And I'm traveling on the bus from work and getting home late at night. I'm blogging a lot, and it's my first year of sobriety, and I'm trying to make shit work. And I stop by the Walgreens near the sober house, and I buy a pack of cigarettes with like my last $6. And I got to make it stretch. And we walk outside, and there's a dude there. And it's a different dude. There's not some, and it was the same guy. No, it's nothing like that. But it was the same type of guy. And this is the type of guy I've been around for years. It's the panhandler mentality, addict mentality. I was, you know, with them in rehab. I was, you know, I was them. Not the panhandling, but definitely the scrounging, junkie type. Sort of pathological, talks too loud, that kind of thing. You know, been around them in rehab, been around them at the sober house, been around them in jail, just this type of guy yet again. And he's like, hey, can I get a cigarette? And I'm just frustrated with everything because the whole time I'm on probation and I'm doing the right things. And probation was easier when I was lying to them and hiding my addiction. Now I'm being honest. And they're raking me over the coals and making me jump through all these hoops. And it's hard, man. It's really, really tough. And I don't have a full-time job yet. I'm trying to work till full-time. It's 2013. And I just said, no, buy your own, you fucking asshole. And I just snapped at him. And he comes at me again. This guy comes at me almost in the same way. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. He's doing the same thing. And it's just deja vu. I even hear Tyler Durden again, you know, it's only after do you do it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, Brad. I told him off. Because it's, you know, also because no riddle in a tequila. But at least I had my own wits about me. And I said, look, man, I'm sober. I'm an ex-heroin addict. I live in a sober house. I don't have any money. I wash dishes 40 hours a week. I'm tired. And I've got, and this is all I've got. I got 20 cigarettes to last me 3 days, and I can't spare any, all right? And he looks at me, and he goes, well, congratulations. And then he walked away. Just angrily, congratulations then. And then he just walked away from me. And I don't think there's a moral to that story, but it shows that it's baby steps. So it's a little bit of a personal growth there. I'm way different than I was in 2013. But two different scenarios. And I think that I'm still kind of an asshole. But at least I don't hit people anymore. That one time. At least I didn't hit somebody again. And that's enough, right? I think that that's the spirit of the holidays is, hey, don't hit people again. I have no idea. It's just a part of my life I wanted to share and who I was and then who I was after that and then who I am now. Anyway, happy holidays, everybody, or happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your weekend. Hey, don't do weird Black Friday shit, guys. There's the internet. What are you doing? Don't get into a fight in a Walmart over a TV. How about that? That's what, yeah, that's what that story's about. Don't get into a fight. It's all about don't get into a fight over a TV in Walmart on the day after Thanksgiving. If you remember anything from this podcast, don't do that. All right. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. I'll see you next week. I'm John Raven. Later.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Knock 'em down.